first things first, as we do each and every week, to start the show off on Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic, we will take a look at the leaderboards, and we got two big tournaments going on this weekend in the world of golf, and it's your sportsinteriors.net leaderboard report. With over 55 years of experience in the business, Sports Interiors will complete your ideal collection. All teams, all sports, any item, and not just items. It's not all about memorabilia. It's also about furniture and furnishings, wallpaper, paint, flooring. It's an entire interior custom sports design. Visit sportsinteriors.net to learn how they will customize your dream sports room and make you the envy of every sports fan you know. And we know that Phil Mickelson and Vijay Singh, two huge names in the world of golf, are in Scottsdale this week. And we also know that Tiger Woods and Ernie Els, two other huge names in the world of golf, are in another desert halfway across the world in Dubai. We'll start off with the FBR Open. It's one of the oldest tournaments on tour. The FBR Open at TPC Scottsdale in Scottsdale, Arizona. 7,200-yard par 71 track designed by Jay Morish and Tom Weisskopf. And after three rounds of play, the 2006 champion is leading. J.B. Holmes is at 14 under par 199 after a sterling 5 under par 66 yesterday on his third round Saturday. A two-way tie for the second spot. Charles Warren and Jonathan Bird are both at 12 under par 201, two shots back of Holmes. You've got two men tied for fourth at 11 under par, Ben Crane and the Aussie lefty Nick O'Hearn. And then you've got six players at 10 under par, four shots back, and a six-way tie for sixth. Justin Leonard, Kevin Sutherland, Daniel Chopra, Brant Snedeker, Kevin Na, and Arizona State University grad Phil Mickelson.
I like Phil Mick, by the way, coming back a little bit today. I want to see what he can do. And how about Daniel Chopra? Has he been the hottest guy on the planet, basically, since Tesoro really went in there and then went in the opening Mercedes and now playing well again this week?
Yeah, it's a good-looking leaderboard, Pat. I mean, when you've got, unfortunately for the guys at the FBR, Vijay Singh really has not played that well this week. In fact, Vijay, one of the guys missing the cut. Vijay Singh, Stuart Sink, and Trevor Immelman all missed the cut at minus one by just one stroke. Aaron Baddeley, the defending champion, also misses the cut this week, along with Freddie Couples, David Toms, and Jeff Ogilvie, another Arizona guy. A lot of Arizona guys in this tournament. A lot of guys that live around there or are from there in the tournament. But Ogilvie, one of the Arizona natives, or Arizona residents, that is, that didn't make the cut. As for some local names, Mark Calcavecchia, the Florida Gator and Palm Beach Gardens resident, is at nine under par after a third-round best round of 64. He went 7 under 64 yesterday on his third round Saturday. That was the best round of the day, and he gets himself to minus 9, just 5 shots back. Robert Allenby is at 7 under par, 7 shots back of the pace set by Holmes. Steve Marino and Richard Johnson are both at 5 under par, and then Frederick Jakobsen, the Jupiter Island resident, is at minus 4. He is 10 shots back after 3 rounds of play. But Pat, you know, the play on the course is only half the story, because we know that the FBR Open, it's over 70 years old. It's one of the 10 oldest events on tour, and the Thunderbirds, the group of ambassadors that help run the event, donate a ton of money to charity, $24 million to charity over the last 3 years. And then there's the attendance numbers. They have drawn 450,000 fans through the first three rounds, 170,000 yesterday. That's a new largest single day attendance record in the history of golf. So, yeah, the play on the course is one thing, but then everything surrounding the tournament is the other half of the story.
Russ, I mean, that number is staggering. Maybe we can talk to Rick Haro about this a little bit. 170,000 people for one day at a golf tournament. I mean, we talked about this a little bit before the show. The PGA Tour ought to schedule an event every week, the same week for Super Bowl week. Next year, Miami, move Doral to that same week. 2 years from now, it's in Tampa. Move the Podge Championship to that same week. I mean, you know, there is a correlation here between the amount of people that are in town for the Super Bowl and coming to this event. This event does well anyway from an attendance standpoint, but my God, 170,000 people, that is like a small city. You're talking about tournaments that sometimes are happy if they get 20,000 people for a round. 170, there were 35,000 people alone on 16. So just absolutely blew me away when I heard that number.
And most of those people are right around the 16th hole. It's only a short 160-yard par 3, but yesterday, over 37,000 fans were located in that small stretch of real estate, and Gary McCord was in the tower. He was loving life. He was having a great time out there. Gary McCord, another Arizona resident, so a lot of Arizona guys involved with this tournament. But 16 gets a lot of the press, but these last four holes, 15, 16, 17, and 18, they're all very good holes. 15 is a very reachable par 5. 16 is really not a great hole architecture-wise, but just the 150-plus corporate suites surrounding the hole and the 37,000 fans that came out yesterday, that's what makes that hole such a story. 17, for my money, has been the most exciting hole to watch this week. It's a drivable par 4, and we know that drivable par 4s are just so much fun. Number 10 at Riviera, or you know, St. Andrews, number 18, or Oakmont. Number 17, how great was that hole last year at the U.S. Open? And then 18 is a great finishing par 4. It's about a 470-yard par 4 that demands you to hit two quality shots off the tee and then your approach shot. So, yeah, 16 gets the press, but this is a really good course designed by Jay Morris and Tom Weisskopf.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. The people obviously have a couple pops before they get there, so they're ready to go. It's really one of the unique tournaments on the PGA Tour in that they kind of let people – you know, you don't have the golf clap going here. You don't have everybody really being quiet before putts and stuff like that. It's like the anti-golf crowd that goes to this. People are rowdy. They're into it. I think with the Super Bowl being there this week, you're getting a lot of New York folks there and a lot of people from Boston there that are, you know, trying to partake, so to speak, in the atmosphere there. So it's really a unique event. And it's kind of strange because Arizona, you don't equate usually with wild craziness. But they figured out a way, the Thunderbirds, like you said, that run this thing, they figured out a way to get a nice mix of craziness, but not completely over the top where it really is affecting the golf. The golfers know what they're getting when they come to this tournament, and I think they enjoy it.
I think it's the first time that I've ever seen a number of NFL jerseys at a golf tournament, Pat. You saw a ton of New York Giants jerseys as well as Patriots jerseys in the crowd yesterday during the third round of the FBR. You also saw a lot of Vikings jerseys. Apparently, there's a huge group of Minnesota people, probably about 25 guys, that all wear purple Minnesota Vikings jerseys that sit right next to the tee box at 16. So you're really seeing the NFL be a big part of the theme this week at the PGA tournament, which is, of course, the FBR Open. Part of that was Patriots owner Robert Kraft in the box yesterday, in the booth, with Jim Nance and Nick Faldo. That was kind of a cool exchange. And Pat, I don't know if you caught it, but Kraft said something to the effect of, to Jim Nance, "Jim, we kind of wish the Super Bowl was on CBS because you guys have given us so much good karma this year."
Wow.
How about that?
Nice little shot there. Well, you know, CBS has a nice deal now with Kraft. They have a CBS Sports Zone or something in the stadium. So I think that's probably the reason why you saw Robert Kraft there pumping CBS, because now they've got some kind of a deal going with their stadium and CBS. But it's a natural fit. I mean, the NFL, a lot of the NFL players play golf. A lot of the golfers love watching football. Phil Mickelson's a huge San Diego Charger fan, and it's been funny. The Golf Channel went to Media Day on Tuesday and interviewed like Strahan and Tom Brady about golf, and they, you know, even Belichick,
yeah,
like,
even Belichick was talking about his golf game a little bit.
I mean, lit up when they, you know, just to talk about anything other than football. I think they were happy to do it, and then they've also been interviewing the golfers after they're coming off. Mickelson was like noticeably depressed when they went from golf to talking about the Chargers. He's just like, "Well, I'm gonna watch the game with some people." He's like, "But, you know, when the Chargers got eliminated, I've just really lost interest." And it was like really like impacted his psyche once he started thinking about that again. So that's why I said I'm only half joking. I think the NFL and the PGA Tour should do something in conjunction every year with the Super Bowl. I just think it's a great fit.
So one more look at the FBR leaderboard after three rounds of play. J.B. Holmes, the winner here 2 years ago in 2006, is your leader. He is at 14 under par, 199. Holmes for the week, Pat, again leading the field in driving distance, over 315 yards on drives, which is below his number in 06 when he won was 322. He led the field that week. He's leading the field again this week, but he's also number one in putts. For three rounds, Holmes has only needed 79 putts. That's a great number. Yeah, he's hitting it a long way, but he's also putting well.
Putting is, you know, a drive for show and putt for dough, so he's doing that. I mean, he's doing both. This is a course that, you know, he likes, as you mentioned, won this thing a couple years ago. Hasn't done much on the tour otherwise, except for this event and being known as an unbelievably long hitting driver. But at the same time, two-stroke lead, you got to consider him the front runner today.
Charles Warren and Jonathan Bird, the closest pursuers, two shots back at minus 12 going into today's final round. It's your sportsinteriors.net leaderboard report. With over 55 years of experience, Sports Interiors will complete your ideal collection. All teams, all sports, any item. Visit sportsinteriors.net and learn how they will customize your dream sports room and make you the envy of every sports fan you know. We will turn our attention to the other day desert that was in action this weekend in Dubai. And Pat, it's a done deal. Tiger Woods has won his fifth straight victory worldwide. He shoots a 7 under par 65 today. He went into the final round trailing Ernie Els by 4 shots. He shoots a 7 under 65 and he wins by 1 stroke over Martin Kaymer in the Dubai Desert Classic. It's Tiger's second win in the event in the last 3 years. Kaymer alone in second at 13 under par. Ernie Els was at minus 13, 1 shot back of Tiger going to the 18th hole. He puts his second shot in the water, ends up bogeying 18, finishes at minus 12, 2 shots back of Tiger in third place. Graham McDowell and Heinrich Stenson tie for fourth at minus 10. Tiger Woods, the streak continues, Pat.
Well, what can I say? I mean, you know, we were talking about how great he was playing. Then yesterday has a really, really down round for him, shooting 73. Put a ball on 18 in the water, had one almost out of bounds on 2, I think. You know, driving the ball all over the place yesterday and then comes back today. That's what makes him so good, is the ability to completely forget a bad performance like that, where most of us, you know, that would linger with us and you know, we'd start saying, oh, no, here it goes again. If he had a bad drive today, start thinking about that stuff. He does not allow himself to have those types of thoughts and is able to overcome it and shoot, you know, an unbelievable 65 today. But, Russ, you got Ernie Els, there's a certain group of guys that really drive me nuts. Ernie's one of them. Davis loves another. Coming to that last hole, if Ernie was in the lead by 1 shot, what are the odds that Tiger would have not only birdied that hole if he needed to, but eagled it to outright win? I mean, it's probably 50-50. I put Ernie, Davis Love, there's a couple guys out there, it just doesn't surprise me at all. They just wilt when Tiger has the lead and they have to do something. I mean, it's just, for world-class players, a guy to hit the ball in the water, that's inexcusable. That hole is not that difficult, and I didn't see any of the highlights. I don't know what the wind conditions or anything like that were, or anything like that. But you're you know, a top 10 player. You got to find a way to birdie that hole.
Pat, this is Tiger's fifth straight win worldwide. It's his fourth straight official win, if you don't include the Target World Challenge. And in Tiger's last 7 official events on the world stage, a win at the 07 Bridgestone, a win at the 07 PGA Championship, a tie for second behind Phil at the Deutsche Bank Championship, a win at the BMW last year, a win at the 07 Tour Championship, a win last week to start his 08 season at the Buick, and now he wins at the Dubai Desert Classic. Tiger Woods, since August, since the Bridgestone last August, like 6 months ago, Tiger Woods has faced 721 total competitors in different golf events in these last 7 events. Only one of those 721 players has carded a better score over 4 rounds than Tiger, and that's Phil Mickelson at the Deutsche Bank.
I mean, he's playing out of his mind. He said it. He's actually swinging better than he was in 2000, which is hard to comprehend. But I don't see any end to this. The only thing I will say, Russ, you know, for a minor glimmer of hope for some of the other players out there, he does have an issue with that driver. He's got to get that squared away to some extent going into the majors and those types of big events, because a one round like that yesterday, you know, this is a limited field event. There were only like 3 guys that could have beat him, I think.
But here's the amazing thing, Pat. How much would he have won by if he had a good driver? I mean,
that's what I mean.
And here's the thing. He only shoots a 1 over par 73 yesterday when he's all over the place. If you saw, I mean, the highlight package on Golf Central last night, he was left on 1. He was right on 2. He was left on 3. It was Army Golf, like they said, left, right, left. He only cards a 73. He only loses 1 stroke. I mean, if that were Ernie or Phil or VJ, they would have shot 80.
No, you're right. And that's what does separate him and keeps him in it. But I think in bigger tournaments where the rough's going to be a difference, and at this thing you're just basically hitting into sand, so you could kind of get out of it. I think that might be an issue with that's been an issue with Tiger for the last 4 or 5 years, is his driving. And you've come out and said it. Look, just hit 3 wood off every tee.
He should hit more 3 woods.
He probably would win most of those tournaments. So that's going to be the only, like I said, and that's a small glimmer of hope for these guys, because otherwise he's going to run away with most of the stuff this year.
It's your SportsInteriors.net leaderboard report, brought to you by SportsInteriors.net. Every sports enthusiast dreams of having the perfect sports room, so why not give your passion for sports more than just a spot on your shelf? Visit sportsinteriors.net. Learn how Sports Interiors can help you design and build that dream sports room. With over 55 years of experience in the business, Sports Interiors will complete your ideal collection. All teams, all sports, any item Visit sportsinteriors.net and learn how they will customize your dream sports room and make you the envy of every sports fan you know. And I'm not just talking about hanging a couple of autographed pictures and a couple of signed baseballs on your walls. This is a complete sports interior design incorporating sports memorabilia along with flooring and paint and furniture and wallpaper and accessories into the design of your room. Come on, guys. You've done every other room in the house. Isn't it time to work on the one room in your house that you have always wanted? Bring home the game. Visit sportsinteriors.net.